Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Praise the Lord. All right. We're going to jump right into the Word. Is that okay? Amen. We're in our Size Matters series. I'm going to go up there. We're in our Size Matters series. Anybody say Size Matters? Praise the Lord. I want you guys to do something with me. I want you guys to stand. Let's all stand. We're going to stand. We're going to read the scripture together. Somebody, team, let's turn to Zechariah chapter 4. We're going to read a number of scriptures together. Zechariah chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, open up your Bibles with me. If you have your cell phone, you should have a Bible app on your phone that you can turn to me with. Zechariah chapter 4, and then we're going to go into the New Testament. So let's start at Zechariah. We'll wait for them to pull it up on the screen. Chapter 4, verse 10. That was on the screen. Zechariah 4, 10. No, not yet. All right, I'll read it. Bible says, New King James Version. Yes, let's read it together. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Okay, now let's jump to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Verse 9. All right, and let's, since we're all reading together, let's jump to verse 10, I'm sorry. Verse 10. All right, let's read together. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Let's read that part again. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. One more time. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Let's keep going. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. All right? So now, again, as we've been talking about in this last series, this past series that we're in, we've been teaching on expansion, increase, more promotion. We believe that God has our church in a season of expansion. Amen? And that means that God wants to deal with our size. He wants to attack our capacity. God wants to be able to do more for us than we are currently able to receive. And one thing we know about God is that he will never put more on us than we can bear. We oftentimes use that quote relating to bad stuff. But he will never put more, whatever that more is. He would never put more on you than you can handle. God will never give you more if you can't handle more. So if God is the criteria that God is looking for is what we want to talk about today, all right? What is the criteria that God is looking for to be able to determine that you are ready for more? You know, we got people that hit the jackpot and they win the lottery, and then in 2 years they lose everything and end up worse than before they had the lottery because they got more before they were ready for it. So you don't want to receive more until you're ready for it. And one of the things you have to learn how to do in God is learn how to be content with your season of less, because your season of less is what's preparing you for your season of more. Amen? And so what we're going to look at today, is learning how to get to that point of view where God says, okay, now it's ready for you to expand and grow. Amen? So just lift up your hands with me. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for dealing with us in the issue of capacity. Father God, you're getting ready to expand us, to extend us, to stretch us, to optimize us, to maximize us, to make us bigger and greater than we've ever known. And Lord, in order for that to happen, we need to be ready to handle the more that you have in store for us. So I pray that you'll open up our hearts, increase us, God, increase our faith, increase our vision, stretch us, make us ready in order to be great and mighty for your name, Father. So we bless your name right now. Bless every heart that's in this room. I pray, God, that now where there is lack, where there is reduction and shortage, you are about to attack it and you're about to flip it, God, so that we can be able to prosper and flourish in the way that you called us to. So we give you praise, give you glory and honor right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's clap our hands one more time. Somebody shout, expansion. Expansion. Listen, let me just pass my laptop real quick. Thank you. Amen. So here we see in the book of Zechariah. Thank you. In the book of Zechariah, well, before I get there, we have a lot of guests here, so I always like to make sure we're all on the same page, okay? Once again, I emphasized 2 weeks ago that this is a note-taking church, so I want you guys to get ready to take some notes. The greater you are at receiving is one of the signs that you're ready to receive, okay? And so for the teacher cannot appear until the student is ready. All right, the teacher cannot appear until the student is ready. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the teacher. So I'm just speaking. I'm just a repeater. I'm a repeater, but the Holy Spirit wants to teach you something because unless the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, it's not truth to you. It's not real to you. You need a revelation. Everybody say, I want a revelation. Truth is revealed to you, okay? So you want to have a heart. Say, Holy Spirit, I want you to speak to me personally. I want you to speak to me directly. And one of the things that makes preaching supernatural is that the Holy Spirit can take something that I say and it will register in each and every one of you in a completely different way. I love that. A lot of people come to me and they'll say, Pastor, you said this thing and it helped me to understand X, Y, and Z. And somebody else can say, well, Pastor, you said the same. You said that thing and it helped me to understand A, B, and C. All right, because everybody comprehends at the level that they are on, okay? So ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and to show you things as we go into this word, amen? All right, and so we talked about in our first week of this teaching session that there are laws of expansion and that every single human being that exists for the purpose of expansion. God does not create anything and expect it to remain the same. He expects everything that he creates to be fruitful and to multiply. All right? For example, when God created humanity, the first command he gave man, he blessed them and he told them to what? Be fruitful and to multiply. That's the first command that's over humanity's life. I also showed you that Jesus is so adamant about expansion and fruitfulness that he said he cursed a fig tree who was not being fruitful. Right? He saw a fig tree and it was not bearing fruit in its season. And Christ saw the fig tree. And instead of speaking to the fig tree and commanding it to grow, he actually cursed it and commanded it to die. Why? Because anything that exists must be fruitful. It must expand. And if it's not expanding, if it's not growing, if it's not experiencing abundance, God says, well, I have to get it out the way. Okay? So it's inevitable for you to grow. The Bible also tells us that of the increase of his government, there is no end, right? So anyone that's in the kingdom of God enters into a realm of expansion and increase because the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom, which is the rule and reign of God, anyone who is a child of God, anyone who is born again, anyone who has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is in the kingdom of God. And once you are under his rule and his reign, God wants his kingdom to mark your life by expansion or by increase, because of the increase of his government, there is no end. So anything in his kingdom must experience increase. As a matter of fact, the way that God proves to people around you that you are connected to his kingdom is through increase. The areas in your life where there were limits, the areas in your life where people could predict your circumstances because they knew this about you, and before you were saved, they knew that this you were this way or you were that person, or you struggled in this area. When God enters into your life, the very areas that people could predict about you and say, I know she's not going to do any, she's not going to experience anything more than this, God wants to attack that one place so that others around you can see the expansion and know that it was only God that can do it for you. So God took a man like Jabez and said, I'm going to bless him when Jabez asked to be blessed. And God blessed him. And his name, which meant sorrow, meaning that he brought pain in people's life, God changed his name. And by changing his name, changed his size. Okay? And so you want God to bless you indeed, like Jabez said, so that people around you would know that you are blessed for real, that you are in the kingdom of God. All right? You want expansion. You need expansion. That's what validates your witness, your birthright, your citizenship in heaven is marked with increase, okay? Fruitfulness, abundance. So I want you to develop an appetite for more. Say, I want more. The second week, I talked about being persuaded about proving the will of God in your life. That it's not enough just to know that something is God's will for your life, but after you know the will of God, the Bible says that we need to prove the will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, right? The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mindset. So the second level of expansion, I talked about the first level of expansion is consecration, which is spending time with God. That expansion is the byproduct of a healthy relationship with God. And I'm just going over some notes. I want you, if you guys write this stuff down. All right. The first level of expansion is consecration. Everybody say consecration. That is clinging to God's presence. That is spending beneficial time with God long enough for God to work in you. Okay. It's important because God will never put more on you than you can bear. So if you don't have a healthy relationship with God, the things that God may try to bring into your life, you'll begin to actually worship the things instead of worship God. You'll begin to give allegiance to and deify things in this world instead of God himself. So you want to make sure that God remains a priority and God remains the center of your life, because if not, the things that come into your life can actually begin to trump your relationship with God. All right, so consecration is making sure you learn how to develop a discipline and a habit of spending time with God. And then number two, when you spend time with God, God begins to challenge the way you think. He begins to challenge your mindsets. And this is where, honestly, there are about 8 more levels of expansion, but this is where most people get stuck at. Because the Bible says we got to repent to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Repent means changing the way we think, all right? Changing our mindsets. And until you're willing to let go of a familiar way of thought or a familiar way of thinking, there is nothing more that God can do in your life. There's nothing more. He cannot put new wine into old wineskins. God needs you to have a new, to be open, to have flexible perspectives. God needs you to be moldable, all right? And that's what happens in consecration, is that God works on your soul. He works on your mindset. So all those stubborn ways of thinking that brought you into the mess that you're in, God wants to deal with that, because the quality of your thoughts determine the quality of your life. Okay? If you want to have a healthy life, you need healthy thoughts. If you want to have a happy life, you need happy thoughts. All right? Amen? So we have to change our way of thinking. And one of the ways we seen Jesus challenging way of thinking was the story we used with seven loaves? The 7 loaves of bread and 2 fish. When Jesus saw 5 loaves and 2 fish. Was that kind of used? He did it 2 times. He multiplied food twice, right? I think the account I used was the 7 loaves. And with the 7 loaves, Jesus took the 7 loaves. He wanted to feed the people. The people didn't have There wasn't enough food to feed, of course, 5,000 people. But Jesus took the 7 loaves, blessed it, gave thanks, and God multiplied it. Why? Because obviously he didn't think like this world thinks. All right? He didn't say, well, all I have is 7 loaves of bread, and I can't do anything about it. But the Bible says he was moved with compassion. And out of that compassion, the Holy Spirit released a miracle. And so one of the ways that God invites us into the supernatural is by giving us a compassion that exceeds our comprehension. Sometimes God will move you to have a compassion for situations and areas in life that is not even related to you, but it might be related to other people. And in that compassion, God is inviting you into something greater. All right, Moses had a compassion to help the Hebrews when he was still in Egypt, and to the point where he killed an Egyptian. But although he killed an Egyptian in his rage and his anger, but we see that the will of God was actually for him to deliver the Hebrews that were in Egypt, right? And so his compassion was an indication of his purpose. But until he spent time with God, he wasn't able to use that compassion harness that compassion in such a way that God can use it for his glory, okay? And so again, it goes back to that consecration, it goes back to that time with God. And spending time with God is what leads you into expansion. Now, here's where we are this week, because the third level of expansion is the expansion of your vision. Everybody say vision. Vision. Say one more time, vision. All right, we talked about vision last week for Resurrection Sunday. And I talked about how the Bible says in Proverbs 29 that where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. But where there is vision, the people prosper. Okay? So where there is no vision, people perish. But where there is vision, people flourish. People prosper. So you don't have a money problem. You don't have an education problem. The number one problem people have today is a vision problem. Vision. Where there is no vision. He didn't say where there is no money. All right? He didn't say where there is no education, where there is no vision. The first sign of poverty in a person's life is the lack of vision. You see, we think a poverty spirit is just not having money. No, a poverty spirit attacks your capacity to see. Poverty it actually begins with the lack of vision. That's why if you go to the most impoverished areas, there is hopelessness, right? People have no hope, they have no future, they have no dreams, okay? They feel like there's nothing that they can do to surpass where they are because they lack vision. So one of the ways that God sends, hallelujah, the ways that God begins to work on your capacity is by giving you vision. Vision, what we say a vision is a picture of the future. And vision comes from God. God gives you a portrait, a photograph of where he wants to take you, of what he wants you to do, and he invites you into more with a vision. Hallelujah. He invites us into more, into expansion with vision. So, the first sign of poverty is a lack of vision. The first sign of prosperity is vision. See, prosperity doesn't begin with having a lot of money. It starts with having vision. That's why we see our communities changing right now here in Brooklyn. People are moving in because they see vision. They see potential. They're coming to Brooklyn and seeing, wait, there's something more. There's something greater here than wherever I've come from. Whereas the people who are living here are moving and going somewhere else. Why? Two different visions. Two different visions. Somebody else can see famine, or someone else can see lack, or someone else can just see crime. Someone else comes and say, I see potential. I see a beautiful neighborhood. I see a tree here. I see a park over here. You know, one of the first times realtors or people who study communities always say, when you see the park starting to change, you know the community is going to change. You start seeing the parks in the neighborhood changing, you know something is up. All right? The whole point is someone has a vision. And vision is so important because either you're going to fulfill your vision or somebody else's. We're all living in response to a vision. And so there's so much that I want to share, but where we started off is where I want to begin, because when we step back into the story of the story of the seven loaves of bread, we know that the disciples asked Jesus, how are we going to feed these people? We only have seven loaves of bread. But the vision that Jesus possessed, instead of seeing impossibility, Jesus saw a possibility. There is a way to feed these people. And so how Jesus saw his little or his less was what set him apart from his disciples in this specific moment, right? He said, I got these seven loaves, let me bless it. I bless it. He broke it and he distributed it. And then out of that place, God breathed on those crumbs. He breathed on those pieces of bread and multiplied it, and he fed them supernaturally. Okay? Now, if Jesus would have had a mindset that said, well, all I have is seven loaves of bread, he would not have been able to see this miracle. Why? Because Zechariah 4:10 said this, who despises the day of small things? Who despises the day of small things? Or, in other words, when we despise the day of small things, we are despising the very things that God has given us to be able to enter into expansion. And I'm going to tell you what most of our problem is right now. We look at the small things in our lives and we despise it. This is the one area God wants to shape and reshift our vision, okay? We look at the negative 20 in our bank account and we despise it. What do you mean? I should despise it. We look at the $50 in our account and say, I despise, I wish I had more money. When you say things like, I wish I had more, you're operating out of a poverty spirit. A prosperity mindset says, I thank you for the $20 I have. You see, Jesus operating under a prosperity, I want to shift our focus here. Jesus took seven loaves. That was not enough to feed 4,000 people. But he never got under a poverty mentality. He blessed it and he thanked God for it. You see, gratefulness and gratitude is an attitude that allows you to enter into the provision of God. When I say thank you for what I have, it actually is a sign of appreciation. And what did I say about appreciation? Whatever you appreciate, appreciates in your life. Whatever you appreciate, increases. Whatever you don't appreciate, depreciates. It goes down in value. And that's what Zechariah said. When you despise the small, when you despise the little, you are actually now being ungrateful for what God has in store for you. You disqualify yourself from increase when you fail to acknowledge and to become excited about the less you have. You see, we want a happy ending. But God never gives us happy endings. He always gives us a humble beginning. Anything God does, he starts small, he starts with little, and he gives you more. Let me show you another scripture real quick, because you guys don't believe me. Look at Exodus. Follow me real quick. Exodus chapter 23. Watch this. Exodus 23. Watch this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I feel the spirit of poverty breaking. Look at verse 25. NIV. Exodus 23, verse 25 to 30, NIV says this: worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. Serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. Worship or serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. So when you worship God, when you serve his purposes, the Bible says that God will begin to bless your bread. He will bless your water. He will take away sicknesses from you, all right? Just in the spirit of worship. That's why we're building a house that worships. Because when you can become more focused on God, his provision, his power, his ability, then what it does is God then releases blessings on you. That's what Jesus understood when he could bless the bread that he had, and ended up, God multiplied it to feed the 4,000. All right? So let's keep going. Verse 26. Verse 25. And none will miscarry or be barren in your land. All right? So he says, when you worship, he will bless your food and water. He will take away sickness from you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. Listen, you will not be barren in this season. All right? You will not miscarry your promises. You will not miscarry on the dreams of God. You will experience expansion. Say amen. All right? You receive that? He says, when you worship, these things will happen. He also says, I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. Any problem you are faced with, the Bible says God is going to send his terror ahead of you and terrorize your issues. See, that's the realm I want to bring you in. The Bible says when you are a worshiper, God will terrorize your problems. Or you cannot worship and be confused along with your problems. You see, blessings are confused. They don't know if you want them or not. It waits for the sound of praise and gratitude and worship. When you say, thank you, God, what you're saying is you begin to invite the blessings of God in your life. But you have to submit your reasoning. You have to submit your own comprehension in order to experience this. But here's the big idea. Let's keep reading. He says, I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet ahead of you and drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and Hittites out of your way. But here's the big verse, what I want you to see. But I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land will become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. That's verse 29 and 30. Did you catch that? He said, I will not drive them out in a single year, or I will not take care of all your enemies all at once. So here it is. God is speaking to the people of Israel after he's bringing them into the promised land. But then he says, as I bring you into the promised land, I'm not going to, all the things I just said I was going to do, I'm not going to do it all at once. I'm not gonna drop out all your enemies all at once. You see, even deliverance is a process. He said, I will drive all your enemies out, but I won't do it all at once. Why? Because if I do, the land will become empty, and then wild animals will come in, and it will become too numerous for you. So God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drive them out little by little. So we want to see the miracle and the blessings of God happen supernaturally, but you have to understand the pattern of expansion in the kingdom of God. God operates by incremental growth. Baby steps. Baby steps. How many of you remember your first steps when you were a baby? How many of you remember it? All right, some of you guys are waiting for her. Does she walk yet? She got baby steps going? Look at her, she's walking right now. Hey. All right. Now watch this. Do we criticize a baby who tries to take their first steps? What do? We celebrate. Why? Why? She's not running. She's not jumping. So why are you celebrating? It's a milestone because you understand that her first steps are going to lead to more steps. What happens is we get so used to walking that we forget to cherish the baby steps we took. You see, Jesus, Paul said, we walk by faith, not by what? Sight. We're used to walking by sight. But we're not used to walking by faith yet. Because when you're born again, the Bible says you become like a babe, right? You are born again. You become like a child in the presence of God, right? Why? Because you're learning how to live a completely different way than you used to. So this thing called faith, the Bible says we start over like a babe. You're more comfortable walking by sight, but now God says you learn how to walk by faith. And so if we're learning how to walk again, we have to remember that walking by faith is just like starting all over again. It's going to require us to learn how to take baby steps. You might say, I'm grown. I don't got to take baby steps no more. Well, that's the problem. Because the way God is going to expand your life, the way God is going to send increase, is that before I trust you with more, I want you to learn how to be appreciative of the less. Just like we celebrate a baby for taking their first steps, God celebrates us for taking the little leaps of faith that we step on, the opportunities that we step out on, that we believe God is saying. See, the voice of God, when we hear God's voice and when God is speaking to us, sometimes we have to remember that when God speaks to us, He's not necessarily yelling at us. He's looking for us to take these steps of faith into the miraculous, into the supernatural. Some of you guys are coming out, we're praying. For some of you, never really had a consistent prayer life, but sometimes we beat ourselves up and we'd be like, well, I can't pray. No, God doesn't want to see you master prayer the first time you pray. He just wants to spend time with you, and as you spend time with Him in prayer, God is more excited about you actually stepping out of faith to pray than He is about you trying to sound impressive and trying to sound like your favorite preacher pray. No, God wants to just hear you pray. And He's celebrating you in the process of your steps towards expansion. I want to expand my prayer life. It starts with spending a little time with God. Amen? But the main point I'm saying here is this. God said for their safety, talking to the people of Israel, He said, I'm not going to drive them out all at once. I'm going to give them little by little. New ground, new territory, new opportunities. Now, this leads us into our last verse. Jump into our Luke chapter 16, where we read earlier. Luke chapter 16. Let's go back there. Luke 16, and let's read verse 11, verse 10. So he says, whoever can be trusted with very little, whoever can be trusted with little, can also be trusted with much. Or he that is what? What's that word on the screen? Faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is not faithful, which is what he calls unjust, in the least is unjust also in much. All right? So here's where we're going to flow from right now. According to Jesus, the pattern of the kingdom is this. Faithfulness is the way to more. Okay? Being faithful to little is what allows God to bless you with more. That means what I love about this principle is that less is more than we think. Less is more than you think, church. Despise not the small. Despise not the little. You see, we're in the advent of social media, and we see everybody, we see our friends, they look like they're living the life of their dreams.
We look on our friends' pages on Facebook and Instagram, and it seems like everybody's advancing and going on with their lives, and I'm the one that's still stuck. I don't have a house yet, and I want a house. I don't have a car yet, but everybody else I know is getting a car. I'm not married yet, but everybody else is getting married. Right? We see these things, and because of our vision, we become misguided in our focus. Because now we're looking at the much. We see everybody else looking like they have much, and I'm looking at my little, and now I begin to despise my little. No, God says, that's the exact opposite thing I want you to do. I want you to look at your little. I want you to look at that apartment that you can't stand to be in and begin to celebrate your apartment. That car that keeps falling out on you, listen, celebrate that car you have. And not say, well, you know, it's just a car. I can't wait till I get my new car. No, value the car you have now. Celebrate it. Celebrate your apartment, as small as it might be. Lord, I thank you. And not only celebrate it, beautify it. That's right. You value the little, value the small. That's what being faithful is all about. It's about you seeing what you can despise and you compare to everybody else. I'm going to be faithful to it. You know why? Because if I understand the process of sowing and reaping, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, because whatever you sow, you will reap. Okay? So the principle of faithfulness, being full of faith about the small things, is having a loyalty to the fact that this small thing will become big one day. It's not about learning how to be content and settling for only less. No, it's simply knowing that there's a principle here at work, that when I learn how to value the small things in my life, God is the one who promotes. God is the one who expands. God is the one who brings increase. And what he's looking for is not my ability or my skill, but my faithfulness. My faithfulness. He's looking for your faithfulness. He's looking for your loyalty to the small assignments. You're not on the job you want to be at? It's okay. Well, whatever job you're on right now, value that job because you got one. And then by being a faithful steward, being a faithful steward over that job. You know what faithfulness looks like? If I had time, we'll go back to Matthew 25. When he talked about the parable of the talents, a bag of gold. When God gave talents, he gave five talents to one person, two to another, and one to another person. And the Bible says that when he gave these talents, which represents the bag of gold, the person with the five, the Bible says, he went to work and he increased that five that he gave, that God gave him. And the person with two doubled it. But the person who had won, the Bible says he buried that talent. When God came back to speak to them, the Bible says that person with five said, here, you gave me five and I'm giving you back 10. Jesus then said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, faithfulness wasn't the man bringing back to Jesus the five he gave him. Faithfulness was him taking the five and multiplying it, increasing it, and expanding it. Hey, I'm giving you five. I'm giving you a little. When I come back to you, I want to see that you've done something with that five. I don't want to come back and see the same thing I gave you. The word faithful implies being loyal to what's loyal. It's like a marriage, right? What makes a great marriage is faithfulness. Someone who's faithful, right? Full of faith. But you cannot be faithful with something you don't believe in. You cannot be faithful to something that you don't believe works. All right? And so you have to believe that in the season of your less, God is working. God is operating behind the scenes, that if you learn how to commit to the process of your season in the times of less and your times of little, God will begin to say, well, this person is ready for more because of the way they're honoring and valuing the season of less, right? The little that you have, church, is more than you think. The little you have is more than you think. Amen? So let me wrap this up. Jesus said, being faithful over little qualifies you to become trusted with much. All right? Never dishonor the little that you have, because it is big enough to prosper you. Never dishonor the little that you have, because it is big enough to prosper you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Write this down and we're going to wrap up. The three main areas that will attack, or the three ways, the three spirits that the enemy will send to cripple your faithfulness and to try to bring you into a season of lack is these three spirits. One, comparison. The spirit of comparison. Number two, a spirit of jealousy. And the spirit of discontentment. Jealousy. What else? Comparison and discontentment. All right? So what the struggle is in this generation, and what you guys are going to be faced with, and what we're all pressed with today, is this thing called comparison, right? Which, again, it goes back to what I was saying. What we're exposed to, comparison is when we assess our value based on somebody else's work. We assess our worth when we looking at somebody else's work or what somebody else has done. Comparison is rooted in fear. Because when you begin to look at other people and begin to assess yourself and believe that, well, this person is doing more than me, this person is accomplishing more than me, it will actually bring me back into this place of lack, okay? I'll begin to feel inferior because I'm comparing myself with others. The problem with comparison is you're not called to do what everybody else is called to do. All right? You're not called to accomplish what somebody else has accomplished. So in order to battle comparison, I have to learn how to value my own difference. You have to learn to value and celebrate what sets you apart from the other person. You see, in the end, when we hear God, when we stand before God, God is not going to look at you and say, you know, Fabiola, how much of your life looks like ebony? He's not going to say, Yorel, how much of your life looks like jasmine? God is not going to compare you with anybody else in this world. He's going to look to you and say, have you been faithful to what I've called you to do? That's it. And if you're faithful to what he calls you to do, then you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful to what I called you to do, not what anybody else calls you to do. Right? So the only person that you're supposed to compare yourself with is Jesus. The only person you assess your life with is Christ. That's the only person you have permission to compare yourself to. You compare your beauty with Jesus's. You compare your worth with Christ. You compare your morality with Christ. Don't even look at how good other people live in their lives. Look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Why? Because that's where faith comes from, by the way. So if you're going to be faithful, full of faith, you need to see your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith. You have a vision problem. Comparing yourself to others will shrink and diminish your capacity, okay? But when you look at Jesus, Jesus will continue to always encourage you. Well, you got some areas to grow up in, but it's okay. Because what I love about Christ is Christ gives us his identity to live from anyway. Right? He gives you his grace, his righteousness to live out of. So we don't compare ourselves with people. We compare ourselves with Christ, all right? Number two, jealousy. You want to overcome the spirit of jealousy. All right, jealousy and envy kind of work together, but envy is envy. That's a nice word. Envy is when you are when you look at what another who a person is, while jealousy is when you're looking at what a person has. And you desire, you want what a person has. All right, jealousy, I don't have time to go into this, but the spirit of jealousy works, once again, along with fear. We also see the spirit of Cain, when Cain and Abel were working together, that Abel had a better offering to give to God. The Bible says that Cain became jealous of Abel, and what did he do? Killed him. God's response to him was, why did you kill your brother? Didn't you know that if you did good to me, I'll receive your work? Right? But it comes from, again, number one, looking at other people instead of looking at Christ and what he's called you to do. We have to understand that when we go through these levels of expansion, your worth, your sense of worth, where you're deriving your significance from, it has to come from Christ alone. You cannot build your worth on another person's work. Y'all don't want to hear this today, and I'm breaking through that spirit, okay? It's a stronghold in today's generation. It's why most of us are not as successful as we can be today. Because we're more worried about what other people are doing than what God has called us to do. I'm not looking at, I wish I had a 200-member church right now. No. I'm grateful for where we are right now. Why? Because this is what I know God trusts me with. And when God knows I can be faithful with 200, he'll send 200 people here. When he knows I can be trusted with 500 people, he'll send 500 here. Are you hearing me? I'm not comparing myself with any other ministry. And it's the same with you. Don't compare yourself with other people. You don't know what price people have to pay. You don't know. You know, there's so much that I want to say, but I'm trying to wrap it up.
Hallelujah. We're almost done. Look at this one last verse. Let's look at one more verse. Let's deal with contentment. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6.
You see, I remember one day I was at home folding clothes. No, I wasn't. I was on a computer. I was on the computer, and the Lord said to me, go fold clothes. Right, and I knew he told me to do it, but I was like, I'll get back to it. And I was on the computer again, and about a minute later, he said, go and fold the clothes. So I got up, clothes was on the bed, and I just started folding it. It's not something I like to do. And after I was sitting there folding the clothes, the Holy Spirit then spoke to me again and said, it's the quiet things that speak the loudest to me. It was like, it was one of the greatest thoughts I ever got. One of the greatest things God ever told to me. The quiet things speak the loudest to me. Reason why he did that, he said that to me, was because I thought folding these clothes wasn't important. It's not as important to God. It might be important. I wasn't married yet, so it might have been important to my mother. But I figured it's just some clothes. I could just put it in my drawer. So what's the big deal? I was like, what, 20 at the time, 21. I'm used to my mother folding my clothes. But at the time, he said, look, it's the quietest things. And what he taught me in that moment was, don't ever feel like this thing is too insignificant. Don't ever treat this little task of folding clothes as significant. Why? Because if I can't handle folding clothes, a little assignment like that, what makes me think I'll be able to manage a church? So he prepared me by knowing the little assignments you have now steward it properly, because what you do in the quiet times is what determines whether or not I will bless you so that you can handle the more. The little things, speak the loudest to God. God is looking at the little, the details of your life. How are you handling and stewarding your friendships? How is your relationship to your boss right now? It may not be the job that you like, but what's your relationship like with your boss? What's your relationship like with your landlord? The little things, speak the loudest to him. Amen? Your friendships. Some of you guys that are not married, how are you stewarding your friendships with the opposite sex? Okay? These little moments right now is what prepares you for the huge times, the big times to come. And so we can't skip the process of faithfulness, because God is looking at your current faithfulness. He will only grow you to at the rate of your faithfulness. God will only grow you at the rate of your faithfulness. Honor the small in your life. That's all the Lord wants to say. I'm saying the same thing over and over again. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to know. Honor the small. Honor the little. Honor the season of less that you have. Because the pattern of heaven is that if you are faithful over the small things, make up your bed, okay? Something small. Make up your bed before you leave the house. And being faithful over that, that speaks loud to God. You know that when Jesus rose from the dead, when they went back to the tomb, they saw his clothes folded up? Did you guys realize that? His grave clothes was folded. He rose from the dead and folded his clothes. You think that was by accident? Nothing gets folded by accident. Amen. He was intentional about the details, the little things. He knew there's going to be some sloppy followers. He said, just look at how I rose. I folded my clothes. Somebody needs to preach that. All right, what did I say? I got to hurry. First Timothy, what did I say? Chapter what? 6. First Timothy chapter 6 says, but godliness with what? Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's in your Bible. Godliness along with what? Contentment. Being content with what you have is great gain. So notice, he's not saying that we become content with less, church. We're not going to become content with little or lack. But what he says is, when you have a little bit, when you have less, whatever you have, become content with what you have. And if you can be godly along with your contentment, he will begin to bring great gain in your life. Amen? And contentment is, once again, is learning how to appreciate your current level of life. It's being able to appreciate and celebrate what you have. That's contentment. All right? And so wherever you are in your life personally, let's all stand. Wherever you are personally in your life, when you work the principles of God, you will see the promises of God. When you work his purpose, his principles, when you work his promises, when you work his purposes, when you do things the way he does things, he's a God of order, okay? He will never put more on you than you can bear, the more than you can handle. And the way we prove to God that we can handle more is by being faithful with the little that we have. I told you guys before I started leading this church, at my dad's church, I served faithfully. I didn't know I was going to pastor one day, but I had a responsibility of being the janitor at my dad's church. The opportunity to be the janitor. I would come on Saturdays before service and I would clean. I would vacuum. I would make sure everything was straightened out. You guys know I was the musician on my dad's church for a season. The Sunday school instructor, he decided to relocate and chose me one day to start teaching Sunday school. I was 18. I didn't want to do it. But he gave me the assignment, and I chose to be faithful over it. And I taught Sunday school for 10 years in my dad's church. And I'm not talking about to the kids, I'm talking about to the whole church. At 18. Little things. I never saw myself up here preaching and leading an entire congregation of a church. I never saw myself doing that. But the little assignment that he gave me was setting me up for this. You don't know what God is preparing you for. All right? So what have you been discontent with? What area in your life have you been looking at and despising it? What have you been saying? Oh, this is too small. This is not enough. Oh, I wish I had more. I wish I could be here. What area in your life are you discontent about and disgruntled about? I want you to change your perceptions about it today. And I want you to begin to celebrate your less. I want you to begin to celebrate and to appreciate your less. I want you to begin to become exuberant about your less. I want you to become excited about the little that you have. Yes, the little that you have. TV preachers lied to you, and they told you about the prosperity, and they told you that if you're not in God, if you're not being faithful, you're not being blessed. No, the blessing is knowing that you have something as small as $5 to work with, because the little that you have is more than you think. Hallelujah! I wish you could get this by way of revelation, not just listen, but by way of revelation, receive it in your spirit. The little that you have is more than you think. Moses came to the Red Sea, and he saw a Red Sea in front of him, the entire people he's leading behind him, and then behind them, a demonized, angry group of Egyptians on horses and chariots trying to take their heads off. Moses looks at the Red Sea and looks up to God and says, God, what are we going to do about it? God says, what are you going to do about it? He said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? Well, all I got is this rod. See, whenever God is getting ready to do a miracle in your life, he will always point you to the little that you have. He said, all I have is a rod. God says, all right, now stretch it out. Stretch your rod out. Expand it. Increase it. Use it. He stretches out the rod, the whole Red Sea parts. And the people of God are able to walk through on dry ground, through the Red Sea. Brings them into their promise. Why? Because Moses did not despise the little that you have. Get out of that "this is all I have" mentality. What you have is more than enough. You always have what you need. You always have what you need. Did you get that? If all you have is less, you have what you need. Less is more. Come on. Say that with me. Less is more. I always have what I need. I always have what I need. Come on. What you have right now is what you need to get to your next level. What you have. What you have. Stop comparing yourself. You hear me? Stop comparing yourself. Look at what you have. Say, Lord, thank you for the little that I have. It's just what I need to get to my next level. Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for victorious mindsets.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.